Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Today we're in the studio, or back in the studio, with Tara and Tanya, Beth, and Janelle, and myself, Sandy. Oh, wow, last time, I hope you listened to it last time. It was amazing, and it's all about faith, you know, and we talked about the passage in Matthew 17, 14 through 21, and where the father was desperate, he came pleading to the Lord to have mercy on his son, and Lord, the poor boy was in such need and hurting and suffering. And the disciples at that time didn't know how to heal him. And so Jesus was explaining why.
Mm. You know, it's such a profound passage. And we went through last time and we talked about the difference of being on the high holy hill and then coming down into the valley and the reality of ministry. And, you know, the disciples have been given the authority to preach, to teach, and to heal, and to cast out demons. Yet this passage shows the struggle that even the 12, and in this case the 9, that walked with Jesus and have been given this authority, still could not see something happen in this situation. And how is that possible? And one of the things that we have to understand is that being in the presence of Christ, being in a church, being where people are preaching the word, being near that which is of God does not mean that we have Christ at work in us. Mm-hmm. And that brings tears to my eyes because how easy it is for us to be fooled in thinking, I got it, when reality is we're not walking by faith. And so this is a test because what is happening at this point in the life of the ministry, we talked about this last time, is that they are now at the point, because Jesus is, this is the second time he's telling them, I'm not going to be with you much longer. How long have I been with you? He says it to them after the father brings the son and he heals the boy. He says, I'm not going to be with you much longer. He lets them know Jerusalem's coming. And so he is no longer ministering to the crowds, but focusing in and getting the 12 right, so that they'll be able to deal with what he has for them. And as I was looking at this little passage, it's so short. It's so short. And so I'm going to reiterate the story, and then we'll go back in and we'll look at it. So as Jesus and the disciples came down, the crowd approached them. A man came and knelt before him, and he cried out, Lord, have mercy. My son has seizures, and he suffers greatly, and he often falls in the fire and the water. And I took him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus responded by saying, oh, you unbelieving and rebellious generation, how long have I been with you? How long will I have to put up with you? Bring the boy here. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed immediately from that moment on. And the disciples went to him privately and said, why couldn't we get the demon to come out? Jesus replied, because you have little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. For nothing is impossible with you. And they arrived in Galilee, and Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they are going to kill him. And on the third day, he will raise to life. And when the disciples heard this, they were filled with grief. May the Lord honor the telling of his word. So as I'm going back through and telling this passage, and thinking through the things that he's wanting them to get, and the fact that he wants them to understand, you got to understand, I'm going to die, but I will rise. He needs to know that they have the faith in order to handle it. So I want you to imagine they're standing possibly at the base of Mount Hebron as this is happening, which is, if I remember correctly, something like 9,200 something in height. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't even know if that's feet or what, miles. I don't know how that's measured. My brain doesn't tell me, but I remember the numbers, 9,200 something. And so they're standing at the base of this mountain, and Jesus is looking at them, and he says, if you have, and you could just see him pointing. I have this picture of his hand going up and saying, the faith of a mustard seed, this mountain will go from here, and then having his hands moving and showing to there. Literally, he is wanting them to get this solidified because they are not getting it, and they have to get it. And faith is critical. So we have the need brought. We have the problem presented. We have the very bad issue of what's going on with the disciples and the fact that they're not getting it. And we have Jesus showing them how, and then we have him also reiterating it. This is something he's wanting them to get. So I ended last time telling us that we're going to talk about failure, because this is a moment of failure for the disciples. Why else would they take him aside privately and say, why couldn't we do this? They didn't do it in the crowd. And scripture, it's very clear. So when they told this to Matthew, when Matthew was penning this passage, they made clear that Matthew, you know, hey, look, you need to make sure, you know, it's known that we didn't do this in public. That God had that there for a reason, because they knew it was a failure in their eyes, right? And I don't know about you guys, you ever had a moment spiritually when you're serving God in the kingdom where you just knew you failed? I could raise up both hands, both feet. Okay. Reality is it's going to happen. But what we have to understand is we may fail, but Jesus never fails. Okay. And so the lessons that we have to learn from them is that I shared with you last time, the first one that I had is that I need to make sure I don't go into rote mechanical ministry. How often in my prayers, even when I'm prayer journaling at home, I will catch myself sometimes going into a rote instead of a heartfelt. Anybody done that? And, you know, one of the things that I try hard to do is try to make it a conversation, saying, okay, God, you know, this is what I'm thinking about, trying to change it so I'm not just doing what I know. Now, there are times that I will do something that might be mechanical, but it's because I need my faith increased. So when would I do that? Because there are times I will do that. And that is, I don't feel that this will be wrong. So for example, times that I might go mechanical, a friend calls me up and says, been diagnosed with bone disease. And I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, I don't know what to say. I have no idea. And in my Rolodex of my head, of the Bible, I will then mechanically go through, what do I know about God in the Bible that I can say that is a promise that I could speak that will bring life because the word is powerful. That is okay, because it is a God-focused approach to bring him into it. Does that make sense? Versus if I don't think, okay, what can I find in the word that will apply so I can minister to this person? If I'm not thinking that and I just start, I don't even think, I don't pray, I don't ask God to give me the wisdom, and it's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There's no heart behind it, okay? So there's a difference in how it can come out. And I wanted, because that was something I struggled with as I was going through this passage. How do I know when it's mechanical, as in no heart, or mechanical, as in I'm doing this because this is, I'm desperate for you. And that it always comes down to, it's the heart. The drawing near. The second thing we have to understand is that my failure does not change the sovereignty of God. And it doesn't change the superiority of God. It doesn't change the sovereignty of Jesus. And it doesn't change the superiority of Jesus. He is, I am. And so my failure is not a reflection on him. My failure is a reflection on me not doing what I need to do to connect and have my heart, my ministry, my service, my prayer in connection with him. It also has to do with, I have to know I'm in his presence. He said it to them. He goes, how long have I been with you? And so one of the things that I will do that is a mechanical prayer that I believe is a helpful prayer for me, it is not a rote prayer for me, I will remind myself often, God, you are sufficient. You are my help in my time of need. You are my present God. You are here. You are with me. And so I will tell myself that often, because I have to hear it, not because God has to hear it. And so that helps me to reflect back on him, drawing myself back up to where I am recognizing who he is, where he's at, and that he's with me. And so making sure we know his presence is here, but not just knowing it, because remember what we said at the beginning of this, to know and be in his presence is different than to live and trust in his presence. Mm. Okay, there's a test there. Anybody been tested in those three? Mechanical, the sovereignty, the rote, the knowing his presence? Okay.
I think one thing, since we're coming up to a new year.
Yeah.
Right? God has been laying on my heart that he desires a friendship with us, you know? Like he... that the my morning, my devotional time with him would be more than just a rigid reading, but that you're really sitting in his presence, adoring him, back to adoration. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I can get away from that just in pulling out the no, the what are you telling me for today, versus he so longs and desires that time of sitting and adoring who he is. And then it's during those times that we're brought to our mind, to our memory, who he is in our life, who he needs to be for you today, or who he needs to be in somebody else's life that he'll bring in your path that day.
So that's good.
Yeah, I think, because sometimes it'll become, you know, a discipline every day, and you lose what
like
you're
a checklist
the dining
of,
that he really desires to have with us, you know.
Yeah, that praise and adoration, that's important. First thing to start with.
It's so important. The other thing, the fourth one that goes into this, is that failure will teach us that Jesus is the one we need to go to with our problems. The dad had it right when he recognized, because Jesus was up on the mountain with the Peter, James, and John. The other disciples were down there. They were the representatives. And he went to them understanding that if I go to the representative of the leader, the authority, then I will have what the authority has. And that's the way it should be. That's how Jesus ordained it. But in this moment, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And he's like, okay, they didn't follow through. And so I'm going to go to the authority. And so, one, I want us to recognize as leaders that there is a responsibility by having the name of Christ on us. Because people will come to us expecting us to give them what we are representing with that authority. And, Sandy, I'm going to share a story from our life and a lesson that God taught me as I was ministering in a situation you were in. It was one of the days that your husband was in the hospital close to the end, and it was just a hard morning. And you know this story because I wrote a devotional about it, and just this past week I had reread it, and so it's fresh on my mind. And I just was struggling with God big time, and just that angst that you have and all. And I'm showing up at the hospital, and I'm like, God, I don't even feel like I should even go. I shouldn't even go because I'm struggling with you. And, you know, I'm not worthy, whatever. And the minute I walked into the hospital room, you and your daughter both looked at me and said, good, Tara will pray. And I almost started crying right there in the hospital room, because you two had an expectation that I would be the one that would bring Jesus. Because you needed somebody to bring Jesus into the situation, because you guys were in a very, very hard place. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my goodness, God, I almost didn't come because I didn't feel I could, because I'm in angst. And I confessed the sin to him right there in the hospital chair. And I'm like, I could not have not been here. And didn't even realize, I don't even know, English-wise, that didn't make sense. Too many nuts. I had to be there. And you get it, right? And so I'm praying, and I'm asking him to cleanse me, purify me, so I can be the Jesus that you needed. And realized at that moment that I almost robbed myself of a blessing. And that's what's happened here. And that's the reason why. I mean, part of it is there is a blessing that comes. So we don't do this for the blessing. We do not do it for the blessing. We do this because we love the Lord. We're there for it. But there is a blessing that comes when we are doing something in the authority of Christ. There is blessing that comes when we walk as his representative in pureness. But we rob not just ourselves, but we rob those that we are ministering to.
I'm so glad you didn't, that you showed up.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? And so that is a personal life experience in my life where I was clearly reminded, I am a representative of Christ. I am under his authority. I am the person that is to be bringing his word into the circumstance, into the situation. Because people, when they see us and they know what we represent, they're looking for that in us. And that is what this dad was looking for in the disciples. Mm-hmm. You're his leaders. I know you're the nine. The other three may not be here, but you're the nine he has set up and sent out two by two. And the people have watched them, and he knew they had cast out. And here he comes with, and he says, they didn't do it. They weren't able to. Okay, so that is why he's so strong when he comes in. And so Jesus is wanting them to get that the time is running out, and it's critical. This is a critical moment in the history of these men's lives. Mm-hmm. It's critical. And wanting them to understand that their dependence has to be completely and solely on the Lord, not themselves. Not in that they have been given the authority, but they have the authority. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? There is a difference. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have been given the authority, but it needs to be on the authority, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for me to get that out of whack. Mm-hmm. You know, to focus in on the gift, the talent, the ministry, the what I know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I'm a list person. If you looked at my notes here, you would see I have a whole host of lists of things because that's how I process. And so we have to make sure that it's him that we are focused in on. And so I'm just going to say a prayer right now for those that are listening. Father, I come into your presence, and I just wonder, Lord, there's struggles out there. And there are so many in situations, one, that the person that needs to be bringing maybe a child to you, maybe it's they're the leader that forgot their place and their focus on you. Father, you know the details of that. I just pray, God, that our hearts, that we get it right, that we remember that your word is powerful and your word is your son, and that we get our eyes and our focus upon you and you alone, that your glory may be made known, mm-hmm. and that your kingdom may be built. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at cultivatinghearts.org or at tararye.com or at opendoormission.org. God bless.